It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Just a brief mention that WPR continues to bring you coverage of the latest developments from our reporters around the state. We've centralized our news and analysis on the coronavirus pandemic. It's all at WPR.org/COVID. Right now, we're zooming in on Kenosha County, which opened a free drive-through COVID-19 testing site this week. It's a partnership with Kroger Health and Pick and Save, and it's operating in a grocery store parking lot. Meanwhile, the county learned of an outbreak at the Amazon warehouse in Kenosha. It's one of the developments we're watching as communities around the state try to limit the spread of COVID-19. Do you live in Kenosha County? Are you concerned about a surge? Are you a business owner? How are you dealing with the situation? We're at 800-642-1234. Jennifer Freiheit is health officer for the Kenosha County Division of Public Health. Jen, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
Well, yesterday we are learning of what is happening at the Amazon campus with reports of more than 30 workers who have contracted the virus. What do you know there? What are health officials saying?
Sure. Well, we've been following Amazon closely. There has been a slow rate of positives over the last 2 months. And so us being on the border presents a unique and different challenge with Illinois is on a completely different surveillance system. So there isn't often good sharing or collaboration or communication over the border to be able to really get a full picture. And given that our facilities are on the border, we often have people that live in Illinois or live in other counties, Racine, Milwaukee, Walworth. And so to be able to get a good full picture of an outbreak at any one of our businesses sometimes proves difficult.
Because employees who cross back and, you know, back to Illinois may be tested there and those numbers may be recorded by Illinois?
Exactly. So everything with public health is recorded by a person's residence, so where they live. So we only get reports of people that are positive that live in Kenosha County. Now, within Wisconsin, there's a really good sharing mechanism within our Wisconsin Electronic Disease Surveillance System, and our public health departments all work very closely together. But because of the different system in Illinois, it provides additional challenges.
What communication lines right now are there with Amazon's warehouse? Are they cooperating?
So they have been cooperating. When we have a positive case, it's a very narrow focus on that case and the contact investigation as far as who is working near that person. The issue we have is that Amazon is over 11,000 workers in Kenosha County. It's between two separate warehouses that literally have two separate organizational structures, two separate HR departments. So therein lies the challenge of trying to get a complete picture of the outbreak at that facility, and with such a deep organizational structure, getting to the right people to get the right data and information that we need.
Has DHS, Department of Health Services, have they opened a site investigation at Amazon? Are you working with DHS on this hotspot?
Oh, we work with the State Health Department all the time. On each outbreak that we have, we will enter it into that Wisconsin Electronic Disease Surveillance System to sort of help to monitor and see, are we able to contain the outbreak at a certain facility, or do we need to start moving to other levels?
When will Amazon offer testing to employees? Is there any sense of what that might look like?
Right. Well, with 11,000 employees, it's certainly something that is difficult. We're working with their administration nationwide right now to persuade them to do that testing. I know that they're developing their own lab and their own collection kits within their company nationwide. But we will also be looking at how we may be able to get the National Guard or some other testing for their employees there so that we can get that good data, get a complete picture of the outbreak and the positive rate within that facility, and then be able to contain that and mitigate that.
What is the timeline? How quickly do you have to move when something like this happens?
Well, this has been a sustained outbreak for 2 months, okay, since March, late March. So, I mean, we like to move quickly, obviously, public health. And so, but we also want to work well with, you know, the HR departments and the leaders of every business that we work with in our community. So we request to move as quickly as possible, and we certainly take the time to foster that trust and that relationship with businesses.
So last week, Kenosha County removed its own Safer at Home order that it had issued after the Supreme Court ruling that removed the statewide order. What do you see there, and can you tell us why the local order was removed?
Yeah, so that Wednesday night when the Supreme Court order came out, all municipalities across the state quickly were scrambling to try to read through the guidance, make determinations with our county corporation council. We were up very late into the night trying to determine what we could do, what we can't, you know, couldn't do. And our top priority was the safety of our residents. So we quickly put out a continuation order. On Thursday, there was some differing and updated legal guidance from the Wisconsin Counties Association. And so we really considered that again as to how we could still keep our residents safe, but that we may not be able to keep that order in place. So it was a 24-hour, grueling 24 hours mm-hmm. trying to figure out what we can and cannot do. But in the meantime, we, in order to keep our residents safe, we had formulated a task force through the Kenosha Area Business Alliance, CABA. And this was a huge sample of business leaders in all different sectors throughout Kenosha County to be able to put out our Kenosha County Kickstart Plan. And so that plan was really a continuation of the Badger Bounce Back, but it had all of the devils in the details to be able to help businesses to be reopening safely.
What are some of those details that you think are helping keep your county safe and businesses able to start reopening?
Well, there's some very specific things, such as paint or tape on the floor to keep lines at the cash register separated, closing down some tables in restaurants to minimize capacity in restaurants, ensuring that retail workers wear masks, even with the places that have lunchrooms or break rooms, putting plexiglass up so that people sitting at the same table, there is a barrier between people. So there's several details at the 12-page plan that really gives all sorts of ideas for businesses to be able to then interpret and see how could they put these sorts of things in place in their business.
We're talking with Jen Freiheit, who is health officer with the Kenosha County Division of Public Health. We're looking at the situation of COVID-19 in her county and how to contain the spread. With your questions as well, what do you want to know about the coronavirus situation in Kenosha County? Do you live in a neighboring county and want to know how it is going cross borders? Do you wear gloves or a mask when you leave your home? Are you a business owner in Kenosha County? And how are you reopening? If not, what are the circumstances? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Jen, how are you working with neighboring Racine County during this pandemic, considering both of your counties are seeing a spike in cases?
Right. We work very closely with the other health departments all throughout southeastern Wisconsin, and quite honestly, throughout the state. We're on daily telephone calls with all the health officers at 2 o'clock every day, working on best practices, working on recommendations to the state and to the governor's office and what we can do best for all of us to ensure that all of us in Wisconsin are safe. But especially we have an open line of communication. Our nurses between our health departments are sharing cases and ensuring that each other knows what we're putting in place in our counties so that we don't have too much variation between counties.
You have an eye on immigrant, Hispanic, undocumented workers in Kenosha County being vulnerable to this disease. What are you seeing there?
Yeah, I think just because of the number of our manufacturing and large businesses, we do have a lot of Spanish-speaking population and people that we're definitely trying to target because that is where we're seeing a high rate of our hospitalizations, a number of our deaths, and certainly a lot of our illnesses. So we're targeting much of our media and our FAQ videos that we put out every Friday. This Friday will be completely in Spanish. And so we're really trying to let them know when we call as the government, that we're not there to, we aren't concerned whether they have documentation or not. We're not concerned whether they have an alias or an ID. We just want to keep them safe and healthy. We want to ensure the people that live in their household are safe and healthy. And so we really want to be able to communicate to them that we are here for them, not for any other reason.
And you had a drive-through testing site open this week, coordinating with Pick and Save. What does that entail?
Right. Well, they were able to get drive-thru testing sites passed through DHS at the federal level. And they had chosen Kenosha County as a spot where they would like to have that site. And so when the Safer at Home order was removed, then we sort of had to reconfigure that drive-thru in the parking lot there, since other businesses would then be able to open. But they have been an amazing partner, you know, entering things into the surveillance system and communicating with us throughout the process. And they have been testing about 200 people each day so far. So they've been an amazing partner and are really helping our community.
Is Kroger putting this type of operation in other communities, do you know, around the country?
There is one in Milwaukee.
Okay.
I'm sure there are others around the country. I just know of the two in Wisconsin.
And this type of testing, it's a site that requires the test to be self-administered, that nasal swab. What does the process entail?
It's a drive-through, and so they're basically instructing each car and then handing them the swab. It's a fairly simple procedure, and so they are monitoring it, make sure it's done right, and then they take care of the collection sample afterward.
What are the numbers looking like in terms, since it's just been open a few days, but what do numbers look like?
We haven't gotten full lab results back yet. From day one, there was the initial results that were coming in, there was maybe only 3 positives on day one, but we haven't gotten full results back yet.
How many people are using it?
So just under 200 per day so far have gone through.
We have Jen Freiheit, health officer for the Kenosha County Division of Public Health. You can join in. What do you want to know from her about how the coronavirus outbreak is being handled in Kenosha County? How do you think counties should approach stay-at-home orders? Is it a good idea or should they be relaxed? How should they work with their cities and across borders? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back in a minute with Jen Freiheit right here on the Ideas Network. The morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We're zooming in on the situation in Kenosha County, seeing how it's addressing an uptick in COVID-19 cases. Kenosha County has the 4th highest number of positive tests statewide after Milwaukee, Brown, and Racine counties, with 921 positive cases as of yesterday, 21 confirmed deaths from COVID-19. Are you concerned about the upward trend in positive cases in Racine, in Kenosha? What should the state or these counties be doing to contain the spread? What questions do you have for the Kenosha health officer? Join in any point, 800-642-1234. We have Kenosha County Division of Public Health's Jen Freiheit, who stays with us. So, Jen, you know, Kenosha, as you mentioned, the county sits on the edge of Illinois, and Illinois has almost 89,000 more positive cases than Wisconsin. This could potentially put businesses that are reopening at some risk. What can you tell us about, you know, that being on the border and what businesses should do?
Right. Well, we were closely monitoring the gating criteria that was put out in the Badger Bounce Back Plan, those 6 gating criteria. And Kenosha County has only achieved 2 of the 6 of those to date. So we have that on our County Hub website for everyone to see. We're very transparent with all of our data. And, you know, that's where we're sending our businesses and our residents to look to be able to see that this virus has not changed. While the Safer at Home changed, the virus is still very much here in Kenosha and Racine counties, and that we are working very closely with our businesses. We have worked with over 300 businesses one-on-one to basically review their plans, their social distancing, their reopening plans, to make sure that they are using best public health practices. And we're certainly encouraging all of our residents to still take this very seriously, to wear masks when they're out in public, to practice good hand hygiene and cough etiquette, and all of the things you've been hearing since the beginning of this.
Jen, in the businesses that you're working with, do they have to do a lot of retooling in order to reopen safely?
Some of them do, yes. They're all making very amazing concessions as far as figuring out plexiglass barriers or masking their employees, working with some of our fitness facilities, removing some equipment or spacing them out more, or restaurants removing some tables or even moving some things outside if they're able to. So, I mean, they're definitely taking drastic steps to make sure that their customers and their workforce is safe.
Have you heard about the supply of PPE in your county? Are there masks and gloves? Is it plentiful?
I wouldn't say it's plentiful. I'd say we have enough right now, but this will go on for the long haul. And so we're definitely concerned about how we can obtain more and when that will come. And there's still businesses that are having a need right now. So we are constantly looking for more.
So as you look at this gating criteria and as businesses reopen, are you concerned about a second wave of the virus or what that might mean to your county?
In public health, we're very concerned because we haven't reached in Kenosha County the peak yet. We still get at least 20 cases a day. And at the health department, we're in critical mass capacity right now. So we're preparing for the worst. We're preparing for a second wave. We're preparing for the future with antibody testing and then hopefully quicker vaccination campaign. And so we're really looking at the long game here and how we can sustain our capacity with our workforce in the public health department and certainly working with the hospitals daily and making sure that we won't have as much damaging effects if we do have a second wave.
What do you mean when you say, you know, we're in critical mass capacity? Can you give us a for instance there?
Sure. So we have 62 employees in the health department. And when this all started and the Safer at Home was put in place, we had all 62 employees working on COVID positive disease identification, investigation, and contact tracing. And that means all the people that are normally our restaurant inspectors and doing lead remediation in houses. When all of that shut down, all of those employees started working on communicable disease, something that usually just our communicable disease nurses, four of them, do. So we definitely had all hands on deck. Everybody was learning new roles. Everybody was reporting to new team leads and supervisors within an incident command structure. And so it was definite a difficult time to be able to reorganize quickly and be very flexible with all the changes that were coming through daily. Well, now that we're reopened, we are losing some of those people that were working on COVID to now do restaurant inspections and help our businesses. So we're definitely trying to reconfigure, figure out what we can do. We've trained 10 new volunteers from our community this week to help us with contact tracing. We're looking for more medical trained, retired, or people that can help us as well. And we're trying to ramp up our workforce that way.
Yeah. So how is contact tracing going for your county? You mentioned they're adding 10 more volunteers to the effort. Will you have to do more?
Yes, we're preparing for more because of that potential second wave. But we've so far been able to keep up 100% with contact tracing, 100% of our positive cases that we've been able to maintain and monitor. And so up to this date, we are doing a really good job with the customer service with our residents and making sure that they're educated and aware of what a positive means, what it means if they're a close contact, what it means to isolate and quarantine. A typical disease investigation call takes anywhere from 1 to 4 hours, depending upon any language barrier or if there are a number of people that live in the same household. So it's a long process for every positive case.
1 to 4 hours for that contact tracer to spend in that conversation. That's a lot of time.
It is. It is.
Well, let's take a call now. Greg is joining us from Sheboygan. Hi, Greg.
Hello. I was just... I mean, it's common sense to me that the only way to get rid of a disease like this is to have comprehensive testing. And why we don't have mandatory comprehensive testing, everyone gets tested, and then you get all the positives, and you isolate those guys and wait for it to run its course. But we can't have opening the state up like this. So to me, this is total nonsense without comprehensive testing.
Greg, thank you for the call. Jen, what insights can you give us as a public health official on what mandatory comprehensive testing for COVID-19 would look like?
Well, sure. We have over 50 labs in the state of Wisconsin now that are able to do COVID testing. testing in their laboratories. We have tens of thousands of collection kits now available, and those are being disseminated through a variety of means to long-term care facilities, skilled nursing facilities, through the National Guard targeted testing at outbreak sites. And we're having an additional National Guard open testing site the first week of June in Kenosha County. So we're looking at how we can sustain this testing for the long haul. Having, for example, a community testing site for 1 week is a one-point-in-time snapshot, but we need to definitely continue looking at how do we get testing into businesses and workplaces to allow their employees to know if they're positive or negative and contain that. So we're working with the state health department. We're working on a county testing strategy, and we're trying to make sure that we have the resources, supplies, and the workforce to be able to keep testing up for the long haul.
So first week of June being right around the corner, do you know where the National Guard will stage that community testing site?
We're working on those details right now. We'll be putting out a press release as soon as we have that.
What can you tell us, Jen, about what it is like to be a public health officer right now for a county? And what is your greatest challenge? What do you talk about with your peers?
It is extremely tiresome right now. I mean, everyone in public health is working 8-day weeks, 15-hour days, and that's no exaggeration. It's we're all a bit exhausted. The events of the last week were quite deflating. But, you know, public health is going to continue doing what we do best, and that's protecting the health of the community. And public health nurses and sanitarians and everyone is extremely passionate about our residents, taking care of those that need assistance most. And, you know, one of the challenges we talk about between health officers is how do we maintain the positivity and the leadership within our health departments to make sure that our staff are prepared, are equipped with the resources they need, and that we can continue this for the long haul, because this is not going anywhere. COVID will become another communicable disease, much like measles or tuberculosis, that we deal with forever. So we will be doing a lot of work on how to maintain our workforce. I think that's the biggest concern right now as we prepare for the worst, if there is a second wave.
Well, Jen, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.
Great. Thank you so much.
Jen Freiheit, health officer with the Kenosha County Division of Public Health. Earlier this week, we talked with the county executive of neighboring Racine County, Jonathan Delagrave. Just ahead, we have our Kids Hour with the king of kids, Hor R.L. Stine, reveals how for years he tapped into what scares us most in all of his Goosebumps books. You have a chance to talk with the famous author. How many Goosebumps books have you read? Which ones are your favorite? 800-642-1234 to call in. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.